We have some very familiar texts this Sunday, as we do often. Well, familiar to people who've been in church all their lives, of course. And tempting as it is to spend some time with Jacob, then renamed Israel, for lots of reasons, I kept coming back, whether I wanted to or not. Reuben, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do if you're willing to listen, and if you don't listen, we'll just keep telling you till you finally do. I kept coming back to 2 Timothy. And what I kept coming back to was the question of the sermon title, what do we do with Scripture? Because our text tells us all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and so forth, which is obviously a fairly clear text in its own way. And I remember struggling with this when I was in college and going to one of my biblical studies professors, not a theology professor, but a biblical studies professor, and said, like, what do we do with this? He said, well, first of all, what does it say? Well, I said, it says all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correction, all those things. He said, okay, does it say that all Scripture is equally God-breathed and equally useful? I said, no. Well, then is it possible that while all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, that there's some we should probably zero in on, and some that are perhaps less useful or in the context we're in are not useful, which opened my eyes in a fairly useful way. The Bible is an enormous book. There's many, 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 many words in it. If any of you have read the Bible through in a year or followed some plan, you know that it has it takes considerable time and effort to work your way through the whole Bible. And if you've never read the Bible through, I recommend you do. I also recommend that you find a Bible plan as opposed to starting at Genesis 1:1 and reading to the end of Revelation, because it's very hard to make it through those first five books. It's just a lot of work. And if you make it through Leviticus, then you get into Numbers, and you're probably going to make it through Numbers, and then you get to Deuteronomy, where you start reading the same thing over again, because Deuteronomy is the second law. Like, it's a second take on the law. It's everything you've read before is in Deuteronomy, and so lots of people give up about then. What I found was a Bible plan that has me reading all over the place is very helpful. You can read the Bible through in a year, take you maybe a half an hour a day if you want to look at it that way. And one of the things you'll find as you go through there's a bunch of Scripture that doesn't make any sense to you. And the good news is that some of it doesn't make any sense to anyone. There's a number of words in Hebrew in the book of Job, for example, that only appear in Job. And it's not that they only appear in Job in the Bible. It's that they only appear in Job anywhere. We can't find them anywhere else. And so Hebrew scholars are making excellent guesses almost, but it's more than a guess. I mean, a scholar knows what's going on the basis of what they know of the language. We're pretty sure that we know what it means. But there are difficult parts in there. And as you read through the Bible, you will find things that it's very difficult to figure out how that applies to a modern context. Well, not everything in Scripture has to apply to a modern context, certainly not literally. None of us that I'm aware of have an ox that we need to take care of in particular ways. Oxen show up often in Scripture, not just as sacrifices on the one hand, but how we treat them. You know, when you've got an ox that's trampling out your grain, you don't, you know, tie its mouth shut, you let it eat, because, well, we don't have an ox. So obviously we don't take that literally, and nobody does. So we look at those, what's the principle behind that? And that's what we need to do with Scripture. And it's not that we look at Scripture and pick and choose. I've had this conversation with other people, and these people tend to be resistant to the notion that Scripture has anything to tell them at all. Like, these are people that think the Bible is just this ancient old book that has nothing to say. And so, like, they say, oh, so you just pick and choose. And I said, well, no, you don't pick and choose, because it's not that. What we do is we look at the Bible in its wholeness to the best of our ability and say, what are the things in there that apply to who we are now? Not perhaps in their literal meaning, although there are lots that do. Loving your neighbor as yourself, taken literally, is perfectly fine. Not binding the mouth of the ox that's treading your grain, we don't take literally because we don't have oxen. At least, none of you have oxes, do you? No. I'm not even sure I'd recognize an ox. I'm pretty sure I'd just call it a cow, you know, whatever it might be. So if we're looking at Scripture from the perspective of what it actually is, which is a collection of writings written across a number of centuries, still God breathed. I don't ever want us to lose sight of the fact that Scripture is the inspired word of God. But that doesn't mean that all of it applies to every situation. And nobody thinks that. We don't, because of course every situation is unique. But we need to be open to the possibility that some of our interpretations or some of our understandings of it might be limited. And there are some things in there that I honestly don't know what to do with. I don't know what to do with the prohibition against fabrics made of more than one material. I don't really know why that was an issue. And I know it's not an issue for us. I mean, nobody goes into a store and says, I would love to buy this garment, but it's a cotton poly blend. Therefore, my religion prohibits that. We don't do that because we don't really know why it was. Maybe some of you do. I don't know what the issue was. So we look at that and we say, okay, there's something there. It doesn't mean that it's nonsense. It doesn't mean that we ignore it or pretend it's not there. It's just that it doesn't have the same level of applicability that loving our neighbor as ourselves. When we look at the many things in Scripture that we sometimes struggle with, there's a hermeneutic, an interpretive theory or an interpretive grid that says, make sure that you let Scripture speak about other parts of Scripture. We don't just look at context from a historical perspective. That's important. It's very important. Like, we need to understand that slavery in the time of Jesus and older was dramatically different than chattel slavery in the United States in the middle of the 1800s. Well, from the 1600s up to the middle of the 1800s. Slaves in much of the ancient world had rights in a way that slaves in what we think of sort of our own context for the last 300 or 400 years didn't. So we do have to know things about historical context to understand what's going on. But we also need to ensure that the determinations we come up with are not dramatically contradicted by other parts of Scripture. So when I ask the broad question, what do we do with Scripture? It's not that we need to know everything, because we don't, because nobody does. And it's not that until we know an enormous amount, we can't do anything with Scripture. What we need to do is realize that Scripture is intended to make us more and more the people we were created to be. And so we look at Scripture for those things that are obvious to begin with. There are lots of areas of contention in Scripture, and we fill in whichever one you've encountered most recently, because there's lots of places where we don't really know what we should say or do. But I've never heard anyone who has read the Bible who says, well, you don't really have to love everybody. You see that all through Scripture, not just Jesus saying, but all through the New Testament, and not just the New Testament, in the Old Testament as well. There is no place in Scripture that says, you know, all things being equal, treat people just the way you want to. What we hear over and over again is treat people well. Be hospitable. As I'm sure I've mentioned to you before, it's possible to go through the Old Testament, reading it, almost virtually all of it, through the lens of hospitality. You know, of that generous opening your home and your resources to people as God has opened the world and God's resources to us. Hospitality is an ongoing virtue all through Scripture. There are all kinds of things like that. Loving our neighbor, respecting our elders, respecting our parents, caring for our children, caring for the poor, the indigent, all of those things. They're all through Scripture. It's impossible to argue against them from Scripture. And those are the things that we need to zero in on. There's any book as big as the Bible is going to have places that you can dispute or you can complain about. If you've ever been around English critics talking about something like War and Peace, oh my goodness, they can go on forever. Or the works of Shakespeare. Because human beings, we can find things anywhere. If we're looking for something to not so much be in conflict about, but looking at things that we can discuss, let's put it that way, to be as kind as possible. The things that in the Bible we find difficult, those are legitimate difficulties, and I don't for a second want to minimize those either. But when I think of what we do with Scripture, my view of Scripture is that this is where I go to get a better idea of what it is that God wants me to do and how I should live my life. And what is it that is an overarching theme that relates to me? Well, there are several. And they come down to things like love the people around you. Do your best to be someone who lives a life that is different enough from the context I'm in that people might notice that and ask why. Try to live a life that says God matters always in all the things I do, not just what I do on Sunday morning. Not just what I do when I'm reading Scripture on my own. Not just when I'm praying. But when I drive. When I interact with people that I disagree with. When I'm in a meeting of generally like-minded people, like Synod, or Presbytery, or General Assembly if I go there, or a group of elders, or a conversation among anyone else. How do I bring God and my best self into that? The Bible helps me with all of those things. And that's what I do with Scripture. What I do with it on Sunday mornings is try to see from the truth of Scripture something that you may have missed. Not because you haven't been working at it, because you all have. But because my context, my unique perspective might be helpful for you. In the same way that your unique perspectives on Scripture are often helpful to me. We use Scripture not as a club to beat people up. We may have even been on the receiving end of that, and I hope not. But sometimes we use it that way. That's not the intention. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for things like teaching, rebuking, and correcting. Scripture often rebukes me and corrects me. And it often does it through the words of people around me. It isn't always just reading the Bible that suddenly something leaps into my mind. Often, it's in conversation. What we do with Scripture is we let it inform the lives that we are living. And we take it seriously because this is the Word of God to us. It's not God's only Word. Creation is a word of God to us also, as the psalmists in particular point out. But we listen to Scripture on our own and in community like this, in conversation with scholars who write books that we're consulting, all of those things. And we do so that we might take it seriously and let it make our lives the best they can be. Scripture is one of the ways that God shapes us into being the best people we can be. Doesn't mean that we have to find every order, every command, every law, everything, and follow all of them. That's beyond us all. Jesus said that fair and clear. No, we look at the big themes of Scripture. What has been true for all people for all time? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We could do worse than just doing that. And there's so much more. So I encourage you to read Scripture, to study Scripture, if that's one of the things that you enjoy doing, to take it seriously, but to realize that there are parts of it that are less urgent than others. Loving people is always the call upon us. May we do so, knowing that Scripture has called us to that. This community has called me to that. And may we be blessed as we continue to read, study, interpret, and consider God's holy word. Amen.